The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Brothers and my sisters, in this short book of James, James, the brother of Jesus, and the pastor of the first church at Jerusalem, he addresses the subject of Christianity, but he addresses it from a practical view. He does not, Reverend Finley, try to debate philosophy, nor does he try to teach doctrinal theology. He simply states, hear me when I say this, in chapter 1, what a Christian has. In essence, he says, hear me, real Christians have a real faith that can stand under pressure. James's message in the five chapters of the book is that the power of God in the Christian's life equips him or her to give evidence of their Christianity. For that reason, real Christianity is more than talk, because all of us know that talk is cheap. James did not want Christians to be guilty of making great claims, professing to be people of God, while not living up to the standard of Christ. Christianity, hear me, somebody, Christianity must not only be believed, Christianity has to be lived. And the proof that our faith is real is a changed life. Genuine faith will always produce good works. For any faith that does not produce good works is dead. When you have time, read James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. So here in our text, here in James chapter 1, James reminds us of the reality that even in the Christian life, there are various trials. That's what the NIV and the New King James Version says. Or to put it another way, even in the Christian life, there are tests and hardships. That's the voice. Even in the Christian life, there are tests and challenges. That's the message. However, even knowing that fact, the Christian does not have to be a victim of his or her circumstance, but they can have victory even in times of trials and testing. James tells us that no matter what the trials are on the outside, we can experience victory through Christ Jesus. So you have to then, if you're like me, you're a curious Bible reader, or you're a curious person sitting up under the sound of the gospel. So you have to then ask, how do I respond when my faith is under pressure? Well, the answers are actually found right here in the text. Take this down, because there are actually four essentials found in the passage. How do you respond when your faith is under pressure? There are four essentials. The first one is a joyful attitude in verse 2. The second one is, how do you respond when your faith is under pressure? You have to have an understanding mind, which is in verse 3. How, another essential when your faith is under pressure, is you need a heart that wants to believe. That's in verses 5 through 8. And then finally, you need to have a surrendered will. You'll find that in verse 4, verses 9 through 11. Now, I'm not going to have time to build on all four points, but I'm going to get them to you for your own study and for your own edification. Again, four essentials. It's found right here in the text. When your faith is under pressure, number one, an essential is a joyful attitude. That's verse 2. Another essential is an understanding mind. That's verse 3. Another essential is a heart that wants to believe. That's verses 5-8. And then finally, it's essential because we are under siege right now, that we have a surrendered will. You'll find that in verse 4, verses 9, and verses 9 through 11. Let's build on that first point, though. A joyful attitude in verse 2. The New King James says, count it all joy. Counting, that's an accounting term. That means to take stock of. Can I preach in this house? The NIV says, consider it pure joy. Meaning, consider carefully, investigate fully. So what are the things that you and I are supposed to consider? Well, consider the facts about trials. Notice that just because you are a believer does not exempt you from trials. Just because you are a believer does not exempt you from tests and challenges or hardships. James does not say if trials come, but when they come. In other words, we should expect challenges. So, for somebody I'm talking to, when you are under siege, when you are under pressure, it is not time for you to hide and stick your head in the proverbial sand. As a matter of fact, the text says in the voice, don't run from tests and hardships, brothers and sisters, as difficult as they are. What James is saying here to those he's addressing, to those of us as readers, it's that, hear me, watch this. He's saying, our faith will be tried. Hear me today when I say, your faith, my faith, our faith will be tried. Watch this. What we talk about in the things we say, what we sing about, come on, choir, it will be tried. What we preach, what we proclaim, what we tell others, my brothers and my sisters, must be tested. You see, God has said, I got a whole lot of folk talking a good game. Got a whole lot of folk who want to talk about what it means to be Christian. And God has said, well, let that kind of talk be revealed. You see, I can say my car works or my car runs. But before they put a car on the market, it has to be tested. Before just about anything that's made or manufactured, before it is put on the market today, it has to be tested. And the Bible warns us that our faith has to be tried. Listen, your faith, my faith, our faith is really no good without a trial. It's no good without a test. But when we're going through whatever it is we're going through, James encouraged us on how to maintain ourselves. Come on, somebody. We can't fall apart. We can't just go off every time something happens to us. So he encourages us that in the midst of our tests and our trials, because let me just be honest, the truth be told, these tests of our faith can be draining. I mean, come on now. Am I talking to any, come on, somebody. Am I talking to any honest folk in a sanctuary? Am I talking to any honest folk maybe online or maybe listening to the podcast who will agree with me when I say that these trials and these tests of our faith can be draining? Oh, yeah. They can leave you broke, busted, and disgusted. They can leave you sick. They can break your heart, leave you in tears. They can leave you with a myriad of fixes and feeling sorry for yourself. But James says, and really it's woven throughout Scripture, that whatever you're going through, first of all, no, you're just going through. You're coming out on the other side. But in the midst of your going through, he is encouraging us and reminding us, don't lose your joy. Because the point of the matter is this. Every one of us, saint or sinner, rich or poor, black or white, male or female, all of us have gone through something. And if you're not going through now, you might be just coming out. But then again, I know I'm probably talking to somebody who's saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor King. I mean, everything is actually going pretty good for me right now. Really, things haven't been all that bad. And I say, praise God. But rest assured, in this life, you're going to come to a point when you ain't going to know what to do or where to turn. I don't know about you, but I've had times when I've been sitting in church. The choir is singing their hearts out. The preacher is preaching the word with power and conviction. And my mind, Miss Monique, is gone, wandering all out in space. Why? Because I'm wondering or I'm thinking about some things that are on my heart and on my mind. And that's exactly how the devil wants to keep us. He wants to keep us in a constant state of frustration. He wants to keep us in a constant state of confusion and panic. Why? Because he knows you can't worry and worship at the same time. So again, James says, count it all joy. That's the New King James Version. Now, I told you all that when I want to go deeper in my study, I can't do that reading the voice. Come on, somebody. I can't do that reading the message. I have to dig deeper by reading translations like the New King James. That is, if I want to do my word study. Do y'all mind if I preach this text for a moment? Can I teach this thing? Watch the text. James said, count it all joy. That's the New King James translation. The word count in the Greek, it means that we ought to be the chief. We're to be the leader. We're to be the governor. In other words, we ought to be the chief or the leader of our joy. That becomes a position of authority. That becomes a position of control. He says, count it all joy when you fall. Teach, Holy Ghost. That term, ye fall, in the Greek, periptipto, peri, which means surrounded by. That means sometimes we are surrounded by some stuff. Sometimes we find ourselves not just in a mess. Come on, somebody. We get in hot messes. Come on, somebody. And I don't know about you, but it seems like everywhere you turn, you find yourself feeling submerged, in over your head. Doesn't seem like there's any place you can go. Doesn't seem like there's anybody you can talk to. And instead of feeling joy, that feeling of dread or fear overcomes us. You're feeling like you are in way over your head. I'm talking to somebody. I don't care if it's your bills. I don't care if it's your grief. I don't care if it's your angst and your consternation about all this stuff going on. James says, when all of that happens, he says, count it all joy or consider it pure joy. In other words, he's saying, don't let your tests, don't let your trials, don't let your circumstances take authority over your joy. You take command and authority over your joy. In other words, he's saying, keep your cool and don't panic. Now again, I'm one of those inquisitive Bible readers. So I would be sitting there and I'm listening like y'all and I'm saying, I hear you, preacher, but tell me how. I mean, tell me how I'm supposed to keep my cool because it's getting hot where I am. Tell me why I should not panic when it seems like everything is falling apart. Well, I'll say, I'm glad you asked. Because guess what? That means I had to keep digging, Brother Reggie. So as I kept digging into the text, teaching this house, Holy Ghost, I found out that the Greek word for joy in the scripture is chara, C-H-A-R-A. You can look it up. You can Google it. It's chara in the Greek. That's where we get. But then I said, wait a minute. I kept following it. So chara in the Greek, C-H-A-R-A, means joy. But it's also where we get our word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, which means grace. Watch the text. So in other words, I can remain in control of my joy and not panic in the midst of my trials because I know that the grace of God is in effect in my life. In other words, my joy then, my chara, is based on the steeped in my charis, which is the grace of God. Grace is something that all of us need but don't deserve. That is, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be honest. I know that God blesses us in spite of us. In spite of the fact that we might misstep, miss the mark, or fall short. In spite of the fact that we might make mistakes, plenty of mistakes, but yet God continues to still bless us. But that's not enough in and of itself to keep me, to keep you, to keep us, to keep our cool, because you just need to know that when things are out of control, we are recipients of God's grace, not just now, already. Which brings me to the next point, which is right there in verse 3. Because James said, you and I can keep it together. I didn't say we don't cry sometimes. I didn't say that we don't get angry sometimes, but we gotta keep it together. You can't let your emotions is a terrible taskmaster. He says we can keep it together. Why? It's in verse 3. He said, because we know some things. In other words, we know something, and our something is based on knowledge. That's the second point we have to have. When our faith is under pressure, we need to have an understanding mind. James said that you and I can count it all joy, watch this, when we consider what we know. Have you ever been at work, at home, maybe even at church? Come on, somebody. Huh? And folks start messing with you, bothering you, and you whisper to yourself, they just don't know. The barbershop, they just don't know. I mean, you whispering now. I ain't been saved all my life. I have some good days and some bad days, and today is not a good day for you to be messing with me, huh? But again, that's not just folk at work or home or school. That's church folk too. Huh? That's why this is good instruction, Brother Tommy Lampkin, for us in the text on how we handle ourselves when we fall into these various situations. I mean, the truth be told is we really know who it is that's messing with us, who it is trying to set us off. Come on now. I know your coworker is messing with you, but they're just a tool. It's not your coworker. It's not your boss. It's not your spouse or your child or your relative or your neighbor. But I believe God wants us to take that same posture when we want to take folk out on the job or whether at work or wherever. He wants us to take that same posture and speak to the prince of the air and say, devil, I know what you are trying to do. Counsel folk all the time. Don't you let them folk get you fired on your job. You need your job. Don't you let them folk convince you to just wreak havoc in your house. They don't live there with you. They just giving you an opinion. It's one thing to step way back, but that is the devil. It's the devil trying to break up your home. So call him out. I know what you are trying to do. And the thing is, you and I know some things, and this knowledge is based on experience. We know some things based on what God has already done for us in the past. And I believe that I'm talking to somebody right now that no matter what you're going through, you can say, I know my God is a keeper. Come on, somebody. And he's not only a keeper, he's a mighty good keeper. And you tell somebody, yes, he is. God is keeping me. I could take you out, but God, keep me in my right mind. Keep my emotions. Keep me together. I don't want to lose control because that's too much control for somebody to have over me. It's too much. When folk can push your buttons like that, that's too much control. That means the Holy Spirit is not controlling you. Has anybody ever been sick? Am I talking to anybody who's ever gotten some bad news before? You just take a moment right now to think back on what you thought, come on somebody, was the worst time in your life. And you said to yourself, I am never going to make it through this. I am never going to make it out of this. You thought it was over. Your friends thought it was over. Your family thought it was over. And somehow the Lord brought you out, brought you through, and he brought you over. And how do I know? Because you are alive right here, right now. Not because you've been so good, not because you've done everything right, but because of the grace of God. And that's why every now and then, even when you are fighting an invisible enemy like some like to call the coronavirus, this is bigger than that. I'm fighting a spiritual battle and warfare. I know what God can do because I've seen him working in my life. Listen, I'm talking to somebody. I need to encourage somebody. This is not the first time you've had trouble. This is not the first time you've had to go through some things or that look bad for you. Man of God, woman of God, child of God, we know some things. I know what it means not to feel like saying hallelujah. But when you can shout, I still have joy, I still have joy. after all the things I've been through, I still have joy. David said, I'm almost through. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. You see, that's joy. Not sometimes, not only when things are going well, but he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. He said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. In other words, because David is saying, because I know some things. I've been here before. I've been there before. So even when my faith right now is under pressure, I will still praise him. I'm talking about that spirit of praise like Job when he said, though he slay me, good God, yet will I trust him. Amen. Hear me. If we choose to love people, then we invite into our lives the suffering that comes from being betrayed or being deserted by someone we love. But if we choose not to love people, then we're going to suffer the pain of loneliness and isolation. Either way, you're going to suffer pain. If we attempt to accomplish anything in our lifetime, we invite the trials that come with frustration and failure. But if we never attempt anything, then all of our life we will fight with feeling insignificant. And in the end, we will look back on our life feeling it is unreached potential. 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7. It says, in this you rejoice greatly, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Verse 7 says, so that the genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested and purified by fire, may be found to result in your praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So as I get ready to close, Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 through 19a. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Come on, somebody. In other words, in spite of what I'm going through, even if things aren't going very well, and it feels like everything is falling apart all around me, my faith right now is under extreme pressure. Habakkuk said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You see, in the scripture, the word rejoice, I'm back in the Old Testament now. In the Hebrew, it means to spin around and dance. Come on, somebody. Things may not be going the way you want them to go. They may not be going the way I want them to go, but I'm holding on, and I'm holding on not to my problems. I'm holding on to my faith. Habakkuk says, nothing is going right. He says, but yet, come on, somebody, I will rejoice in the Lord, and I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. In other words, he's saying, I heard it in a prayer earlier. He's saying, I know that it was God who breathed breath in my body. I know it was God who laid me down last night. I know it was God who early this morning, he woke me up and he started me on my way. I know it was God who has been keeping me, not just yesterday, not just last week, not just this year, but down through the years. Wait a minute, I'm teaching. I'm not joying, nor am I enjoying my circumstances, but I'm enjoying the God I serve. I'm not worried about the White House. Come on, somebody. I don't care who sits in the seat of the presidency, because I know who sits in the seat that looks high, that sits high and looks low. I have joy in the God who made me, in the God who knows all about me, in the God who knew me before I was in my mother's womb. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. How to handle when your faith is under pressure. To God be the glory. To God be the praise.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.